The following is a conversation with Vincent Smith on the latest developments around Terraform. Sorry, I couldn't resist the Lex Fridman-inspired introduction. Well, I know Vincent from Singapore. He's out there somewhere in Asia. He's a thorough veteran of all things infrastructure, as am I. I'm based in the UK. And an infrastructure engineer is my day job. What is an infrastructure engineer? I help run those software services that you use. I sort of help provision those cloud and manage and govern those cloud services, usually AWS. And one way to provision those resources is with a popular project called Terraform, which fairly recently got bought by IBM and relicensed under like a commercial license. So the thing that everyone uses, the Terraform, is now in a sort of a interesting place. And the conversation that follows is Vincent and I just chatting about it, and hopefully you enjoy it. Please comment below, and I will try my best to answer all your questions. Thank you.
So what's the tea?
What's the tea? So you had some juicy infrastructure gossip.
Okay, so maybe some background. Like, there's quite a few companies built around Terraform, some of them being Spacelift, M0, you know the whole deal with the licensing change around Terraform. Yeah. And a lot of companies forking the last Mozilla public licensed version of Terraform and then maintaining it as a fork under OpenTofu.
Right.
And aside from those companies, there's also Digger. I'm not sure how much Digger.dev is involved in this OpenTofu effort. I'm not sure actually who are the founding companies behind OpenTofu. The term TACO, Terraform Automation, TA, Collaboration, CO, and Software, so TACOS, right? TACOS, Terraform Automation Collaboration Software.
Okay.
So a lot of this Terraform automation and collaboration software examples are Terraform Cloud, where you push code into Git and then it triggers a run of Terraform Plan and Apply. And so Atlantis is a famous open source TACOS.
Yeah, I just have Digger open right now and it looks like it just reminds me of Atlantis.
Yeah, so Digger is an alternative to Atlantis with the premise being, why do I need a separate EC2 instance when I have a whole bunch of CI/CD runners? So what they do is they give you CI/CD workflows for GitLab and GitHub Actions, and then they simply have an orchestration API that those runner workflows can, you know, be orchestrated with. So okay, whenever an event comes into the GitHub, it maybe triggers through the orchestration layer, and the orchestration layer would then dispatch GitHub workflow. So okay, it actually uses your GitHub runners that you may have self-hosted or that you are having part of your GitHub hosting to run the Terraform jobs, right? Okay. You don't have a separate Terraform instance. So their view on how is the minimal like impact, like the easiest fit into existing company workflows. So they build Digger in that frame. And then they mentioned, like, you know, what's really missing, and a big problem with Atlantis as well, is the ability to just manage the orchestration. So HashiConference happened last week, where HashiCorp is going to make a lot of announcements. So there was actually quite a lot of things or news happening around HashiConf from other companies trying to, you know, use the event to also
announce some of their own. Wow, that must be such a cool event. Atlanta. Okay, cool. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. So last year on HashiConf, they announced Stack Beta. I think 2 years ago, they announced Terraform Stack's private beta and then public beta. And now it's finally GA, general available. So what is Terraform Stacks? Terraform Stacks is basically the ability to define multiple Terraform states in one stack. So that they, for example, a common scenario is that you have a network and then you have a Kubernetes cluster and then you have some Argo CD deployment that needs to depend on that Kubernetes cluster, right? So you can those are all individual components, right? The network has to exist and create all the subnets, private and public subnets, for the application nodes to be provisioned in. So the Kubernetes cluster can only be created after the network has been created. So Terraform stacks will help you to orchestrate across multiple Terraform states. So this is something that is cloud only, right? They will. This is not part of the Terraform CLI until the most recent release, where you can actually use the Terraform CLI to query the cloud stacks, but cloud stacks is cloud only, except for some CLI to get some information about your stacks.
But wait a minute, Terraform must have had this feature before to depend on another stack for another. I mean, you can fish out values from another.
Yes, you can fish out values, and I believe they just use workspaces and outputs between workspaces, but they didn't have a cross workspace orchestration feature, as far as I'm aware.
What does orchestration mean? Like a
this
like,
exactly like, this coordination
like depends on things like this.
Or... Yes. Like I want to provision a new environment, and that environment consists of a network, a cluster, and a GitOps controller. And the network needs to be created first, then the cluster, and then the controller.
Okay.
So,
So when you say orchestration, I'm just like mapping it into GitHub workflows. Yeah, but okay, carry on.
When I say orchestration, I mean like coordination between different, activities that need to be ran and orchestrated, the events between them that trigger the activities or actions to be executable. Something
so
like that, right?
maybe more like a make file in my Dumbo brain.
A make file gives you a couple of that's more like a task runner, right? A make file gives you a couple of targets to execute, and then you are the orchestrator usually that says first I need to run this. Makefile has minimal orchestration.
Well, it has like files. So you say like I need this file foo to be built before this file bar. So it will run the target for foo. But to be honest, make files are never quite used that way. But anyway, we're getting distracted here. So orchestration, I'm all aboard on GA.
All right. So there's been GA now. Great. However, a lot of these Terraform automation and collaboration software, or TACOS, have switched to a resource under management pricing mechanism where you're being charged for every resource that they are managed for you. And so if you have a lot of Terraform resources, then you are getting a very big bill over time. Right?
Yeah. I mean, that's really evident in my current client with Datadog. I mean, when you look at each resource cost, it's cheap. Mm. But when you have a zillion resources and the sprawling cloud, which you inevitably do, it's really expensive.
Right. So one of the arguments of, the advantage of using a collaboration software, like you can use Atlantis, you can run it self-hosted, but it doesn't really do cross-stack orchestration. All this stack feature doesn't exist. So I've also personally been thinking, like, how do I add on orchestration on top of Atlantis, for example, because Atlantis, whenever you open a pull request, it will identify any GitHub. It will use Git to identify any changes, like based on the pull request compared to the base, it will identify which Terraform projects may have changed. It can auto detect that, or you can be very explicit on how it needs to track which projects need to be ran and where those projects live. And then Terraform will basically try to run all of those projects. If you want, you can auto plan. So every time a pull request is opened, it will auto plan any projects it believes that may have changed, and it runs them all at the same time. So obviously, if you make a pull request that creates three different components and they depend on each other, then one of them will plan successfully, the rest of them will fail because the other components don't exist, right? Yeah. So you have the ability to do some type of orchestration if you manually define execution groups. So Atlantis has the ability to say execution group one, and then execution group two, then execution group three, a little bit like Argo CD deployment waves. It's the same.
Okay. Yeah.
It's execution order group.
Okay. Well.
Yeah. So it's for ordering. And then about 2 years ago, another PR came in, which was the ability to define dependency, so you, which basically you can use order group to determine when to run the which projects only after a certain other projects have been run, and then the dependency was that Atlantis would fail or bail if one of the project's dependencies hasn't been applied yet. So it has a very basic tracking of a project. It says like, okay, this one is planned, this one is applied. And if he tries to, if you try to run a plan and the dependencies have not been resolved, it will fail because it has these dependencies of other projects that must be,
Gotcha.
resolved first. Yeah. But in reality, those two concepts don't really map directly to like the ability to orchestrate, like to say, run this and then run that, right? Because that should be sufficient to just say dependency. You don't need execution group and dependency.
Yeah,
They're
yeah,
treated
yeah.
separately. One
I
is
get
just to
you.
make sure the dependency has been resolved. One is to make sure that one
Yeah,
has been
yeah.
removed
Or
from
I
the
mean,
other one.
ordering is like very basic.
Yeah.
You're on a maturity journey. That's when I see people doing that, that's like very basic. It's like kind of manual. But when you
Yeah.
have a proper tool like and you like make or a depend or an orchestrator, as you say, then it
Yeah,
becomes
Spacelift or M0, they all have
yeah.
the ability to do that. Even TerraGrunt, like even TerraGrunt within the repository, you can define dependencies between your TerraGrunt's states, and then you TerraGrunt can do a run all to orchestrate it. So basically
Okay.
run everything in order. So it basically builds a graph across your different Terraform states. So within a Terraform state, Terraform builds a graph between the resources, right? This resource
Right.
needs to be created, and then that resource depends on it, and it does
Yeah.
its own parallelization and like execution, and sometimes you need to tell Terraform, hey, actually, there's like, for example, an API gateway. When you create the API gateway and all of its integrations in AWS, if you then try to trigger an API gateway deployment, if that actual integration hasn't been resolved or the Lambda hasn't been attached and you trigger a deployment, it will fail. AWS API will say,
Got it.
this
Yeah.
gateway doesn't have an integration, so it will fail. And in that case, there's no direct dependency because the deployment has a dependency, implicit dependency on the gateway because you use the gateway ID, the API gateway identity.
Yep.
So when you use that link, Terraform knows I need to create a gateway, then I need to create a deployment. But it does not have an explicit dependency between the deployment and, for example, an integration on the gateway. So when you don't do that, then you get a race condition. So it may manifest. Sometimes it may not manifest, right? but the right way is to really say like, okay, this deployment also depends on these other resources, and you have to explicitly say it depends on this
Yeah.
gateway integration with this Lambda and so on, right?
Yeah, got it.
So that becomes very that works really well with Terraform within a Terraform state. So Terraform is amazing in handling these resource dependencies. Sometimes you have to give it a little bit of a hint. Now, from a higher level outside of the state, creating dependencies between states adds a lot of like additional orchestration overhead that makes it difficult sometimes. Like one of the most common problem is I'm going to change my network, for example, and I'm going to change my output, and now my subnets are no longer a map of key value pairs. Maybe they become an ordered list, and then maybe I have another component which reads a key and then gets an error because there's no longer a map there. It's
Yeah,
now a ordered
I
list, right?
could understand the complexity,
That
yeah.
happens. So why do people separate everything, right? Why do they create one state for the network, one state for the cluster? And that's often because of like life cycle or ownership, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So a network usually has a much longer life cycle than the clusters within or even the deployments onto one of those
Yeah, I
clusters.
mean, I usually say blast radius to clients. Like that's why we have so many goddamn stacks.
Yes, blast radius, and with that is also, for example, if you use, and again, this comes back to like a lot of discussions within the Terraform space, which is like, do I always only apply after I merge? So, only apply off the master branch, or do I allow people to run apply from a branch? And basically, the branch is modifying the state, which is shared between the master branch. And then, if somebody runs an apply, then they may like inadvertently undo my changes because my
Yeah,
changes
yeah.
have been merged yet, right?
I see
So,
that all the time. In my current client, we have a channel called Terraform Stack Wars or something like that.
yeah.
So people basically announce that I'm going to make a change to the monitoring stack or the networking stack. And then they create a branch and apply it in dev. And of course, people need to somehow lock it so that they don't stamp on each other.
Right. So Atlantis has a very good feature there, and a lot of organizations follow Atlantis' way of doing things, which is as soon as you open a pull request and Atlantis runs a plan, it basically keeps a lock on that particular
Nice.
state. So if another pull request goes against that particular state, like Atlantis detects a project and then tries to plan it, it will get an error saying, oh, this pull request number 34 owned by Vincent owns the lock on this particular project.
But is so the lock, branch, the lock is quite, needs to be quite long lived because like
as long as the PR holds the lock. So it's in a database, like an object database, keeping track of the lock. And so basically until somebody goes in and clears the lock from that PR, that PR holds the lock.
Nice.
Right. And beautiful. That's because Atlantis tries to be deterministic. So when it auto plans, it will write a plan on disk. And when somebody approves it, he will approve exactly that plan that ran. Right. And if something changes, for whatever reason, if you try to trigger an apply and, you know, Terraform tries to, and this is a Terraform feature, right? Atlantis passes the previously generated and approved plan from disk into the Terraform apply. And then that Terraform will immediately reject it if it discovers that something changed and the plan is no longer valid. So the plan has become stale.
Right.
So then you need to like rerun plan to get an approval. It can
again.
Be depending. You can be flex. You can say as soon as it's, you know, the PR has received one approval, it's okay. Mm-hmm. You can use the GitHub approval requirements. You know, whenever a commit is pushed, maybe it invalidates the PR. So you use the, you know, your version control gates on your pull request.
It sounds like Atlantis has been evolving over the years that I mean, I haven't used it. So that sounds good. I mean, does Atlantis, for example, have a feature where if you don't destroy anything, like, you know, if then just approves?
That
like some sort of policy as code.
Auto approval? That's not actually, no, not that I'm aware of. It's probably possible, but it would, I mean, technically everything is possible, right? But it would require a little bit of additional. I don't have any such setup currently, but this is definitely like another requirement that people ask. It's like whenever, like I want an auto approve or an auto deploy flow. So I want Atlantis approval to automatically happen. And
yeah, I mean, there's probably AI in the mix here, you know, like,
you don't like, know. I would avoid AI in those situations, to be honest.
Well, I've been using Copilot in GitHub Copilot as a reviewer in PRs in the team, and I'm actually quite surprised how good it is in some ways. It's better than any, like, I mean, is it better? It complements any like linting tool and things like this, doesn't it?
We can go deeper on like all of the things that we can do with context, because this really relates to the T that I want to talk about.
Okay,
as well.
Okay. Oh my God.
So we're 20 minutes in. Yeah.
So you'll
have to edit this heavily, but we've basically explained some of the, you know, options, because what you just mentioned is we have some manual coordination to lock PRs. Atlantis does that for you. But this means that Atlantis locks the PR and then it has a apply before merge philosophy. And a lot of organizations are like, this is unacceptable. You know, trunk is the source of truth, and we cannot have anything applied until it landed on trunk.
Apply
That's where it should be
merge.
Applied.
Okay.
Yeah, because Atlantis keeps the lock on the PR. As soon as everything is applied within the PR, then that needs to be merged. As soon as possible, it needs to go into trunk, right? Because now the state file reflects whatever's on that branch.
Yeah.
And if that is not merged, then somebody, you know, runs Terraform from trunk from their laptop without, you know, having this lock.
I guess it's slightly...
Atlantis lock is purely on the Atlantis side. It doesn't lock on the Terraform side.
But it doesn't seem like such a big deal to me, really, because you're working...
So some organizations are very strict, and so some workflows they say apply before merge is incorrect. It should be merge and then apply. So I am from the Atlantis. Like, I grew up with Atlantis. Atlantis solved a lot of my problems, and for me, I have experienced many times that the plan looks perfect, but when you try to apply, it fails, right? For whatever reason, because, you know, a Terraform plan doesn't really validate, like, I guess Terraform CRUD reads only the attributes and then does this internal validation of like, this needs to change, and then the actual AWS provider may get an invalid response.
I mean, to be honest, I prefer a workflow where we don't even plan, because plan doesn't catch, probably I'm making a crazy figure
you
up.
Can talk it, more about AI
plan doesn't that. Catch like 80% of the issues that you might get when you're deploying infrastructure. I mean, it doesn't really help you move fast.
Okay. Right. So there's just I wanted to highlight that Atlantis is one solution. It lacks a lot of the orchestrations, gives you a lot of other stuff.
Cool. And it's
And then
open
there's
source and it's easy. You don't have to worry about
can run it on $15 EC2 instance. You
you
can
don't
go
have
to the Digger docs where they go into like pretty good arguments against it, saying like, well, you know, it's never just one Atlantis instance. They have like a doc where they compare the problems with Atlantis, I believe. They say Atlantis is never, yeah, compared to Atlantis. I like their arguments. It's like it's never just one instance. Whereas, I can't see it now. But there was, or maybe I remember it from another tacos service.
But since Atlas is just doesn't is not like cloud pricing, I mean that's a huge win in my book. They don't even mention
Yes,
the price, do
I
they?
talked to friends of mine that are running, you know, 10,000s of Terraform resources of, you know, very big scale, and when they look at any RUM quotes us, it's just like blows up their cloud bill because it goes from I'm paying $20 a month from a, you know, a decent EC2 instance running Atlantis or running, you know, on a Kubernetes container, so it's even less you know, CPU and memory usage, and I can, you know, so I'm not paying anything right now. I'm paying like $20 max, and I'm going to be facing $10,000 a month if I switch to like a
Exactly.
cloud just because I want that like additional policy as code, or I want additional orchestration features or RBAC. Like that's not in Atlantis, right? You don't have proper RBAC. You can do like some code owner setup with your GitHub PRs to, you know, only validate that if that person approves, then it can be applied. We do some conf tests in my organization where we do invalidate like, or we block a PR if there's any changes to an IAM policy, so that the security has to come in and review these changes to IAM policies, for example. So
Oh,
we have some
nice.
conf tests like
Like
that. Yeah.
some routing going
Yes.
on.
And conf test is also like hard coded into Atlantis, right? Atlantis has their own workflows, and the default workflows includes conf test. So it runs an OPA policy against your Terraform plan. But if you don't want to use conf test, you can use other OPA or other
Okay. I
scanners
don't think
as
I've
well.
even used Comptor. Like why is it claiming to
Features,
be
policies.
secure by design? And
Maybe because when you run Atlantis, you're running an EC2 instance that has a lot of permissions, like an IAM policy that has administrative like permissions. Maybe that's like
that's
you are responsible for securing your Atlantis, because your Atlantis in the end is the one that takes or assumes the profile to
I
make all of
see.
the cloud changes, and
Yeah,
then
but
that EC2 instance
that's
needs to
quite
be really
normal though. That's
protected.
pretty normal.
Yeah,
Like you're and so I mean
it,
it's
because
quite
you're hosting an EC2 instance, you need to like you can't make it publicly accessible, but it
yeah.
needs to receive GitHub webhooks, so it must have some ingress path
But
for those webhooks.
conversely, I'm assuming that if you're using Digger, you have to hand over the crown jewels to Digger, just
To
like you do
CI/CD.
to the Terraform
No, they
cloud.
don't. So they are purely like the orchestration layer that just dispatches the workers, and your workers are your CI/CD system. So you can have those hooked up to your GitHub. Like you have runners for stuff anyway, right? So basically they hand off like I don't
Okay.
know.
Okay.
I think
Okay.
that was a bit.
Let's get to the gossip then.
Okay. So aside from Atlantis, there's Digger, there's Spacelift, there's M0, there's TerraTeam, there's quite a few. And so Digger has been posting these thought experiments on Reddit where they talk about the states manager. What if a Terraform orchestration like Tacos wasn't a runner? Like most of these, like Spacelift, M0, they're all providing runners, basically triggered by webhooks. But what if you decouple the runner infrastructure and just focus on the state management part? So the biggest problem that we have, because we are splitting states, the biggest problem is how do we like manage the dependencies between states and identify, you know, if one state changes, what else is impacted? Because for example, I make a
Okay.
change to my network. Now I need to invalidate everything that depends on my network, so it may need to
So
renew or
we're going back to Terraform stacks, aren't we here? If you're talking about states.
it's kind of related to the stacks. Stacks capture the dependencies between states, but the argument from Digger on Reddit, like the thought experiments were about like, let's imagine an API that you only use it to define dependencies between your states, and it gives you endpoints to, you know, identify any stale states. So a state that needs to be replanned because something it depends on has changed. So basically track the edges, color the edges when outputs change, and then replan or like give a, basically give back a list of jobs to run because there's these states need to run, right?
Color the edges. That's an interesting expression.
Color the, it literally what it does, it's a state multigraph because it keeps track of multiple edges between states for each output.
Where are these discussions happening, on Terraform or something?
On the Terraform subreddit, which was like, I think posted around maybe June.
Okay. So state management, color the edges. I think I'm with you, Vincent.
Right. So I was very interested, and I talked with the team because I'm building something that really needs this state orchestration, and not only the state orchestration, but I need to hook into it because I generate Terraform. So I want to be able to read the outputs, and I want to be able to see what's the shape of an output. So I want something that can give me or can help me track dependencies or outputs and then identify what is the source of that output and things like that. So I talked to them like, hey, I want to know what you guys, like, I'm interested to help build with this. So I had a call with them, and they presented to me something that was, they were building in stealth at the time, and they were just wanted to get some feedback, and it was called OpenTackle. Okay, interesting. So that was about like 2 weeks ago. Then not much after, TerraTeam, the other tacos provider, announced an interesting project called stategraph.dev. Stategraph.dev. Yes. So Terraform without the state file bottleneck. Like their argument is basically the reason we are splitting states is because we don't have proper tools to manage our Terraform state. Because the Terraform tool is only able to manage a single state. The real problem is if we were to create like a massive Terralith, basically one big state where all of your environments are, and then we improve the actual tooling around this single massive state, and we're able to like Terraform apply slices of it, and we're able to, you know, control RBAC of individual resources, like we're able to track ownership and approvals against the individual resources, we're able to solve a lot of the problems why we are having this blast radius and these arguments.
I've been thinking this, we need like a monolithic kind of state.
Because Terraform solves that problem. So they announced like, let's get rid of this state, you know, multi-state problem. And at the same time, you have Terra Grunt or Gruntworks promoting these Kill the Terralit advertisement or workshops. It's very funny. My LinkedIn feed is like on one side, Gruntworks, you know, advertising of kill the monolith, kill the Terralit.
Breaking
the Terralit. Yeah. So they have like workshops, and they're like, you know, Terralits are killing you. You must, you
what
know,
do you
have
mean,
many small little.
Like
a monolithic Terraform state.
Well, no one ever does that, but I don't see the problem there.
Companies like Gruntworks, they're like consultancy, and they're going into a lot of places where people, you know, like in-house develop their own Terraform setup, and then they face all kinds of issues. And basically, TerraGrunt is quite extreme because when you use TerraGrunt, you pretty much get one state per module. So you build one module and then you invoke that module, and that's one state. You cannot like have multiple modules. This is a bit crazy, right? I mean, if you imagine how small modules sometimes are, I can tell you in a previous place I worked at, we had like 3 years of TerraGrunt and we had like 300 or 400 Terraform states. It was insane.
So I don't understand. So if they do it in such a fragmented way, then how can they claim that the monolithic Terraform state is a problem?
No, they're coming into organizations and they're saying, we will help you break down your Terralith because all of your problems are because of the Terralith.
That's crazy to me, but okay.
Right. And they also launched a cloud product called TerraScale or TerraGrandScale. So they launched a product basically to migrate you into and then orchestrate.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it's like a importing blah blah blah.
Right. Okay. So that was just an anecdote because I'm seeing on one side TerraTeam constantly posting about don't break down your Terralith. Your Terralith is not your problem. The problem is the tooling. And on the other side, I have like Gruntworks constantly saying we have workshops to help you break down the Terralith.
Yeah.
Terraliths are an anti-pattern.
I'm definitely in camp Stategraph. Definitely.
Right. Yeah, so they hit Hacker News front page the moment they posted this, and
oh, really?
they Yeah.
9 point. Oh, here.
That one, yeah. Like 13 days ago.
That's quite respectable.
Right. And then they also got like the mailing, like they said they have hundreds of organizations interested. They're looking for design partners to help build out what people want from a state graph and what it looks like. They're even hiring OCaml developers, but they won't train you. I asked, they say no, we don't have time to train you. So you must know OCaml, and then they're building this. Their launch date, their roadmap is for Q1 2026.
Atlantis is written in what, Python, I guess, or something.
Golang, a
Okay.
massive Golang source code.
Oh, nice. Well,
Quite complicated.
I'm
I don't
pleased
know
that.
about Golang for monolithic. Like, it gets
No,
really complicated.
it's not that comp. I love Go.
The
It
problem
works really well.
with Atlantis is that it's so ingrained into the pull request flow that everything is like based off the idea that it's coming from a pull request event, which is horrible. Like, for example, they tried to add an API endpoint to run Terraform plans, and it's really painful because it like, oh, you have a pull request, right? Where else are we going to run a plan on, right?
Yeah,
So it's
I
so
got
ingrained.
that. Okay, so but anyway, Atlantis is not sorry, my headspace is in this whole monolithic versus
Atlantis doesn't really dictate how you organize your state.
okay.
Atlantis, has this auto discovery to find your Terraform configuration files. You even have like integration with TerraGrunt so that you can automatically, like, you can let TerraGrunt actually run the Terraform across your like repository, and then Atlantis can hand off some of that. The most important part about Atlantis is basically locking pull requests,
Right,
posting the
got it.
plan into the pull request.
So Renette, sorry, I'm just trying to track in my brain. We talked about Atlantis and Digger, and now we're talking about State Graph and TerraGrunt. Well, is there some relationship?
Yes, the relationship is that Digger was posting all these thought experiments on Reddit. Suddenly there's this announcement of State Graph. I found it quite funny because the Taro team is actually quite active on Reddit, and I see them commenting on these posts, and then I see them announcing State Graph, and I thought like it's quite similar. So I talked to them, and I was like, that's interesting. Like, I need something that I can query. So either it's the thing that Digger is building, or it's the thing that the Terra team is building, whichever, right? I need to query the state. I want to retrieve information
Oh,
for
I
my
see. So
program.
yes, it's between Digger and State Graph for you. Okay, cool.
Right. So HashiConf happened the week last week. HashiConf is going to be by the end of the week. At the start of the week, Digger announces, we have some big announcement this week. We have a really big announcement this week.
Ooh,
Right.
infograph stuff.
Infograph is announced at HashiConf, which is very similar. And again, to the point of AI, why do all of these people suddenly, or all of these organizations are suddenly so interested in building all of these massive state graphs and dependencies between states and
Because
between
AI can
techs?
easily grok it, probably.
Exactly, because if you want to build an LLM agent, every single organization right now is positioning themselves like, we have the context. We've got all of the information about your infrastructure for you
The
to query.
context is king.
Exactly. So on one side, Terra team announces State Graph, perfect for building a context. Digger is like, we're building the state manager because you need to be able, we need to be able to query, keep track of the dependencies, right? Yeah, we all want to keep track of dependencies, use our product, right? And then the big announcement on Wednesday, I think a day before HashiConf, Digger opens this very aggressive video. If you go to digger.dev/opentaco, that's basically where the project was in OpenTaco. So a couple of things I remember from that video. Basically, they start with like this kind of like apocalyptic error messages, like people are being held hostages, resource under management pricing is criminal. This is
Agreed.
not an open standard, and we have the solution. We are building the future of infrastructure as code, the open standard. You see the first line there, introducing Project OpenTaco, the open standard for Terraform automation, right? And then scroll down, there's like this roadmap, the pillars. I think the pillars are amazing. The state manager is the first thing that we just talked about, right? Then they said, well, you need a private registry for modules, you need role-based access control, you need to define your dependencies between your stacks, and you need to have insights, right? Reality map to code and all that,
Cool. I really
right?
like sites that like advertise their principles or pillars or whatever.
I think it's a really nice idea. But the response,
Well,
it was
even a negative responses can be capitalized on, right?
okay. Well, okay,
You know,
let's look at what
here.
happened next, right?
What happened next?
Is they posted this on Reddit and they posted on Hacker News. I think on Hacker News they had three upvotes. I keep track of all the links. And on Reddit, there was an immediate very strong backlash from the community. There's a few Reddit accounts that were linked to organizations I mentioned before, and
Okay,
they were very
so
critical. They were like, why do you talk about an open standard? Like, doesn't a standard involve communication and like contribution and a community? Like, where is the discussion? Where is the RF, the re request for comments, the RFC? Where is the specification design? And why does it is it like declared as the open standard, but does it look like a product? Like, there's a product roadmap even. Like, how is this an open standard? How can you declare to be the standard when you haven't there's no community behind it, right? And I personally didn't really see that, but like apparently that resonated with a lot of people because that was pretty much like there weren't that many comments, maybe 10, and like four out of them, or maybe 50%, I mean, were like, this is a product, stop, making it look like it's an open standard, it's a product, blah, 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 right? So they open source the source code. And one of the main things that's interesting is they completely integrate with the Terraform Cloud backend. So if you're familiar with Terraform as a backend, you can use S3, you can use a Postgres, you can use an HTTP remote backend, or you can use Terraform Cloud. So the Terraform Cloud backend is a very strict protocol that uses like authentication. So you use Terraform login. When you run Terraform plan, you can even have it run
Oh, so it
remote.
uses the same backend. Interesting.
And they implemented the Terraform Cloud backend because it's like, Terraform code is open source, right? Source available. So people re replicated all the API endpoints that Terraform uses, and they implemented the backend of their own version. And that was like, whoa, cool. They use the whole Terraform backend. They have like SSO integration,
That's quite smart.
OpenTaco.
So they
And then the creator of OTF, or Open Terraform like Cloud backend, comes in and says, okay, guys, I expect in this day and age, people copy code, but you guys do it without like any attribution, and you can't even be bothered to change the comments. Like, you literally copy the file from my project with the original OTF comments right in it,
What is the
and you
project
just
name? OTF.
OTF. Yeah.
Ouch.
Ouch, indeed. Yeah, leg zero, leg 100 OTF comes into the Reddit comment and says, I'm the creator of OTF. You guys lifted my files. Here are like,
I didn't even know about this project. This is interesting.
I bring receipts. I have links to all of these Reddit comments. I can
Okay,
share them
so
if
there
you
was
can.
definitely some hot controversy.
Yeah. The funny thing is that most of the like harsh backlash, I can always link back to the same accounts. It's always like two accounts that are always going like, you guys say you're an open standard, but this is a product roadmap. You guys are
Well,
breaking the trust of open source.
I
You're
mean,
stealing code.
you hinted about it earlier, but like on Reddit, I mean, I have one account on Reddit and I stick to that one account, but I know loads of people that have at least two or three accounts on Reddit. Two people going at it from four accounts.
And the moderator, because what happened to the post, the big announcement of OpenTaku, it got deleted, got removed. I'm very curious now, like why? Unless like I'm very oblivious, unless I'm really oblivious, and I really don't see that much as a really bad like situation. I look at this from like Docker point of view, right? Docker came in, they built contain Linux containers, they built a whole tool framework around it, and then OCI was created, Open Container Initiative. They created the standard. So for me, like if you look at OpenTaku, it's a product, and you can like create a standard out of a product like Docker did, right? And being so aggressive and saying you. But okay, I understand that there is, first off, the message, like the YouTube was very aggressive. Then second, the declaring they are the open standard, that clearly like upset a lot of people, right? Then obviously the massive failure of having this code that happened. So what was the response of Digger to this backlash and the post being removed? Apology, right? So they did an apology post.
Where? Oh,
Let me find
yeah. Oh, ooh.
post-mortem, OpenTaku using code from OTF without attribution. This is the
Oopsie
chain of events. This is how it happened. We did a stub, five whys, and they posted. So I want to hear your opinion about what you feel about
So
this
why did
apology.
the code was moved from as is from an internal? Okay, that doesn't
Yeah.
really excuse anything. Why
And they
did
open
the
sourced the internal to show the full commit history of how that was built, when it was built, who was doing the PRs and all that.
It still doesn't explain, yeah.
Because I'm curious how you would feel about this, because the response was also interesting.
Well, I mean, well, is it called Occam's razor? Don't attribute malice to what could be excused as, incompetence. Is that the right phrase?
Occam's razor is more about like if there's a simpler explanation, then that's the right explanation. But don't attribute malice to what could be attributed to like stupidity or incompetence. I don't know exactly what that
Okay, it's
phrase
something else, but
is.
I would probably go on the more positive side of things because like when you're in a hurry and they're ripping code from there. I mean, it could be this is even more the case with AI nowadays. Like it wouldn't be surprised me if you're writing some code with the AI and it just steals some code from some code base on GitHub, and then you're taking flak because like you have a comment from another GitHub repo, and I'd be like, oh shit. It sounds like they've fixed this issue, I'm guessing. So I mean, it's a mistake, it's a balls up, but I would move on from it. That's my initial feeling.
Right. The response was, this is just another product marketing, not really an apology. Half of your apology talks about the product or something like that. Like, I'm trying to
What?
find a thread. Yes. And you can guess who was putting those comments. The same people.
So this is where we are. I mean, how long ago was this? 26th of
That was
September. Wow.
Saturday. Yeah.
Okay, this is hot steaming gossip.
Pile. Tea. I've been having a ball this weekend. I was literally eating popcorn. Like, what's gonna happen next? Whoa, this happened. Like, I honestly, like, my personal opinion. I mean, I don't really think it's fair the way that it's being responded to. Maybe I'm biased because I really want something like this to exist. And yeah, I know. Of course, the main like post the main complaint of the people complaining was like, trust in open source has been eroded. Constantly projects are relicensing. People are very reluctant to adopt a project now, and we need to build trust, and trust is earned by doing things right. And stealing code and, you know, relicensing it, because OTF is a Mozilla public license, and Digger and therefore the OpenTACO code as well is actually Apache 2 license, so you can't relicense it. There's no attribution. So there's like so many no's in this action. Like, this completely destroys trust. This is unacceptable.
So wait a minute, Vincent, their repo was open source too, right?
No, so they, well, yes, they moved the OpenTACO into their main repository, which is a massive Golang monorepo. So if you go to Digger, so the actual,
Where is the
this is the
licensor?
OpenTACO.
So this is where
This
they
is
stole the code, right? They stole.
the internal one that did, they did some quick POC on the internal code, and then they copied all of that into their main Digger repository. So this
Oh,
is the
okay.
OpenTACO that was private. And then there's if there was it wasn't into their internal. If you go back to their profile and you go to their main monorepo, the main one there. So there you have the license zone, I guess, which is
MIT.
Apache 2. Oh, it's MIT.
Oh, it's better even.
Huh.
Okay. Well, thanks for the gossip. I think I got a taste of the, what do you call it? The digestion system of Terraform or something, you know, what's going around and what's going to come
Yeah,
out and
I like some of the, like, first off, I think the name is very funny, because, you know, you have open tofu, you have the concept of tacos, and then open taco kind of plays on
who
that open
so
tofu.
so who coined tacos then? What's the
Tacos is a known way of describing Terraform automation and collaboration software. Tacos has been around for like 2000,
so like if I search for like
17, 18.
Tacos site HashiCorp.com
Not
today.
sure. Don't think they call it tacos, but Spacelift M0 and so on. If you search for like Terraform automation, then you're gonna find a lot of like websites that refer to that as tacos. Right. Taco provider like Spacelift. Yeah, so they do have it on there, but it's on the discussion, it's on their forum, it's not
Interesting,
official.
interesting.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, that was a really good conversation. I think I need to
I had another
transition
call.
into work. I got stuff to
Do.
cards to move into different lanes and stuff like that. So anyway, if anyone is watching this to this far, I congratulate you. Okay, all the best, Vincent. Let's catch up
I'll send you some
again.
links if you want to add it in some
Yeah,
links.
context is king. Context is king.
Yeah,
Okay,
but
see
it's
you.
more to discuss. We definitely have to do another session.
Yeah, we definitely have to do another session. Okay,
All right,
great.
see
See
ya.
you, man.
Okay, bye.